Really? VOA won the hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Mario Ritter Jr. This program is designed for English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English. This is what you will hear on today's program. Andrew Smith and Anna Mateo report on efforts to combat homelessness in some American cities. Denver and Atlanta are building homes for homeless people. They say the measures cost less than other methods. Next, Brian Lynn has a story about the technology company NVIDIA. How did it become so valuable? Then we wrap up the show with our lesson of the day. Today, Andrew and Jill Robbins teach ways to talk about the workplace and matters related to jobs. But here is Anna with our first report.
Some U.S. cities are building housing called micro-communities that is meant to combat increasing homelessness. The housing units in these communities are small and built quickly. Unlike group shelters, micro-communities give each homeless person his or her own living space. Officials say they believe the communities, when combined with other services, can put their residents on a path to permanent housing more effectively than other projects for the homeless. The Melody is a micro-community built on a former parking lot in the city of Atlanta, Georgia. Officials built 40 small studio apartments from shipping containers. Each studio has many things needed for the home. These include a single bed, a heating and cooling system, a microwave oven, a TV, a desk, a sink, and a bathroom. The area also has plants, green plastic ground covering, and a place to walk dogs. Cynthia Diamond is a 61-year-old former cook who uses a wheelchair. She has been homeless for many years. Now she lives at the Melody. She told reporters that she is very thankful to live in the community and enjoys having her own living space. "I have my own door key. I'm going to stay here as long as the Lord allows me to stay here," she said.
The city of Denver, Colorado, has built 3 micro-communities. It has also turned hotels into housing for the homeless. In Los Angeles, a 232-unit community has 2 buildings, each with 3 levels that are made from shipping containers. The latest information says over 1,500 people in Denver have joined its housing program. Over 80% of those who joined are still in the housing. Both Atlanta's and Denver's programs act as steps to help people find jobs and permanent housing. Denver aims to move people from the micro communities into permanent housing within 6 months. That includes Eric Martinez, aged 28, who has been homeless for much of his life. He said, "Homelessness makes me feel less of a person. I had to get out of it." The services in the micro communities are mostly centralized. They offer treatment for mental health, drug, and alcohol abuse. They also provide advice job training, and other forms of help. Martinez said the community has been very uplifting and supporting. Peter Kumiski works at the Melody in Atlanta. He said the micro community is able to serve every level of a person's needs, from security and shelter all the way up to self-actualization and the sense of community.
The city of Denver built a total of 160 small structures. Denver's mayor, Mike Johnston, told the Associated Press that it took about 6 months to complete them. Each unit costs $25,000, he said. 1,000 converted hotel units cost about $100,000 each. The Melody project in Atlanta took 4 months to build. Each unit costs about $125,000. Support workers and security operations cost about $900,000 a year. Andre Dickens is Atlanta's mayor. He wants to supply 500 units of quickly built housing on city-owned land by December 2025. Few people in Atlanta expressed worry when the Melody was announced last year. However, as city officials look to expand rapid housing areas, they know people might not support the idea.
In Denver, Johnston said he attended at least 60 meetings with residents in 6 months as the city tried to find places for the new communities. Local residents expressed worry about issues such as waste and safety. What they are worried about is their current experience of unsheltered homelessness, Johnston said. He said city officials needed to show residents that micro-communities could be successful. With the existing projects, he now says he has some proof to reduce residents' concerns. As for Martinez, he keeps all his belongings ready in case he has to move, although he says he feels secure in his small home with his cat, Appa. He is now preparing for the next steps in his path towards permanent housing. He has a date for a meeting about a new job. The next step for him is to receive a document showing he qualifies for financial support from the city to rent an apartment. I'm always looking down on myself for some reason, he said. But I feel like I've been doing a pretty good job. Everyone is pretty proud of me, he added. I'm Andrew Smith.
And I'm Anna Mateo.
Shares in American technology company NVIDIA have risen sharply during the past year. The increases have given the company a market valuation of more than $3 trillion. Last week, the price of NVIDIA's shares made it the world's most valuable company for a short time, ahead of Microsoft and Apple. On June 20th, NVIDIA's estimated market value reached $3.34 trillion. At that time, Microsoft's market value was listed at $3.30 trillion, while Apple's valuation was $3.22 trillion. But NVIDIA's share price then dropped sharply, reducing the company's valuation. Later, the share price rose again, including a 5% increase during Tuesday's trading. Some financial experts said the recent movements in NVIDIA's share price helped drive gains across the U.S. stock market. They noted that NVIDIA has grown to become one of the largest and most influential companies on the stock market. What path did the company take to get where it is today? The company was formed by three engineers, Jensen Huang, Chris Malachowski, and Curtis Prime, who first discussed their ideas for the business over dinner. Their main goal was to design and build a computer chip that would make graphics used for video games faster and more realistic. NVIDIA was founded in 1993. At that time, the business centered on the production of chips built to support high-level graphics operations. This development continued, and in 1999, the California-based company invented the Graphics Processor Unit, or GPU. This move was widely seen as helping to drive a big increase in computer gaming and redefine computer graphics. NVIDIA's business expanded during the COVID-19 pandemic when gaming increased in popularity while people were under stay-at-home orders. Today, the company is centered on producing specialized computer chips designed to support artificial intelligence, AI, operations. The chips run powerful processing systems used to train AI systems. These tools, such as OpenAI's ChatGPT, Google's Gemini, and Apple's Apple Intelligence, are trained and developed on huge amounts of internet data. Huang currently serves as NVIDIA's Chief Executive Officer, CEO. During a conference call last month with industry experts, he predicted that companies using NVIDIA chips would be looking to build new data centers called AI factories. Huang added that training AI models is becoming a faster process as the systems learn to become multimodal. He said this means they are able to understand text, speech, images, video, and other forms of data, and can also reason and plan. People kind of talk about AI as if Jensen just kind of arrived, like in the last 18 months, like 24 months ago, all of a sudden figured this out, said Daniel Newman. He heads the technology research company, the Futurum Group. But if you actually go back in time and listen to Jensen talking about accelerated computing, he's been sharing his vision for more than a decade, Newman told the Associated Press. Newman said NVIDIA's GPUs have played an important part in the company's recent success by filling an immediate need for specialized AI chip products. They took an architecture that was used for a single thing to maybe enhance gaming, and they figured out how to network these things, Newman said. He added, they basically ended up creating a market that didn't exist, which was GPUs for AI or GPUs for machine learning. Technology experts say GPUs are designed to more easily process the specific kind of math involved in AI computing. By comparison, other processing systems are built to deal with a wider range of operations, but with less efficiency. OpenAI's ChatGPT, for example, was created with thousands of NVIDIA GPUs. And Tesla CEO Elon Musk has reportedly secured GPUs from NVIDIA for his startup company, xAI. I'm Brian Lynn.
And now, Brian Lynn is here to talk more about his technology report. Thanks for joining me, Brian.
Sure, Mario. Glad to be here.
This week, you examined the huge growth in recent years of American technology company NVIDIA. The report noted this growth is largely linked to huge demand for specialized computer chips built to support an increasing number of AI systems. What are technology experts saying about this chip demand moving forward?
Well, currently, industry experts are predicting this demand is for sure here to stay. In some ways, the expansion of AI systems and tools, though, is still in early development. This is because many companies, both large and small, are still trying to figure out how to best employ AI, what systems to use, and what companies will become the biggest players in supporting this massive industry.
I know that some financial experts and investment companies have warned that AI companies might be overvalued in the market. What can you tell us about that?
So one thing I did notice as NVIDIA's share price continued to rise was some critics of the company noting that NVIDIA's latest profits do not necessarily line up with such a huge estimated valuation. So there are still many unknowns about the long-term performance of this company, as well as others currently investing heavily in AI. But having said that, other experts offer their opinion that AI is likely to keep growing at high levels for years to come, even to the point of possibly remaking the world's economy.
Okay. Thanks again for joining us, Brian. We look forward to talking to you again.
You're welcome, Mario. Thank you.
VOA Learning English has launched a new program for children. It is called Let's Learn English with Anna. The new course aims to teach children American English through asking and answering questions and experiencing fun situations. For more information, visit our website, learningenglish.voanews.com.
And now, the lesson of the day.
Hello, my My name is Anna Mateo.
My name is Jill Robbins.
And my name is Andrew Smith.
You're listening to the lesson of the day on the Learning English podcast. Today we begin level 2 of Let's Learn English. In this lesson, Anna is working as a journalist. She learns many things about her new home, Washington, D.C. In the videos, the Professor Bot character explains the grammar of each lesson.
That is a funny little character, Professor Bot. Can you tell me about why he is in this series, Jill?
Yeah, we wanted to have more detailed explanations of the grammar in the main videos in this level. In level 1, as you know, we had 3 videos, one with the story, one for teaching the vocabulary and new grammar points, and a third for pronunciation. In level 2, we decided to make just one video, so Professor Bot appears in the breaks in the video to explain grammar.
In lesson 1 of this level 2, we hear about Anna's work life. So there are a lot of words related to working and occupations. Let's listen to the first part. Listeners, see what work words you can pick out.
Oh, important meeting. Everyone must come. Well, back to work, and my boss has called a meeting. I wonder what it's about. Maybe we're all getting raises. Oh, there's Jonathan. Maybe he knows. So, Jonathan, what do you think today's meeting is about? The email sounded important.
Well, I have heard people in the building talking about budget cuts.
Oh, budget cuts? Wait, who has been talking about budget cuts?
Mark in accounting.
Mark in accounting? That's one person. That's not people.
I know, but Mark knows everything that goes on at the studio.
That is true. But wait, look at us. We shouldn't gossip. That's how rumors start. We'll just go to the meeting and see what happens.
Yeah, you're right. No more talk about budget cuts.
If you were listening carefully, you would have heard one important word, meeting.
Yes, business people love those meetings. It's helpful to think about which verb we use with it. Call. We heard.
And my boss has called a meeting.
Right. We say we call a meeting. We've used the word boss before. In Anna's case, her boss or employer is Ms. Weaver.
Anna uses another work word when she guesses the meeting is to tell everyone they are getting raises. A raise is an increase in what you are paid, or your salary.
That's something we all like. Another phrase you hear is budget cuts. That is what happens when a business needs to spend less money than they usually do.
But remember, that was a rumor about budget cuts. A rumor is some piece of information people talk about without really having the facts.
Yeah, another word for rumor is gossip. That is often when people tell others unkind things about another person. It's not a good idea to spread rumors or to gossip or talk about things you are not sure about.
I agree. But let's find out what happens when the rumor spreads in the next part. Keep listening for those work-related words. You'll hear some names of jobs in this part.
Budget cuts? Oh, no. I just heard Anna and Jonathan talking about budget cuts.
That must be what the meeting is about. When there are budget cuts, people lose their jobs.
Not you. You're a good reporter.
And it's not you. You've done such a great job as a videographer.
I can't go back to being a detective. Criminals scare me.
And I can't go back to being a teacher. High school kids scare me. Penelope, have you heard the news? Today's meeting is about budget cuts.
That's awful. What should I do?
Update your resume. I've already updated mine. I'll see you at the meeting.
Let's see. The job names I heard were reporter, videographer, detective, and teacher. Did you hear any other work words, Andrew?
I heard Kaveh talk about updating a resume. That is a list of the skills you have and the jobs you have had. As you can hear in this first part, first two coworkers, Amelia and Kaveh, then another, Penelope, happen to overhear this gossip. They get worried about losing their jobs.
I think they are worried because they heard Kaveh guess about the subject of the meeting.
That must be what the meeting is about. When there are budget cuts, people lose their jobs.
To lose a job means to no longer have it. And another expression we'll hear is to get fired.
That is the danger of rumors. They can make people worry. As you may remember, Penelope is Anna's friend who has moved to Washington, D.C. I think we should find out what's really happening in this meeting. Don't you, Jill?
Yes. Let's see what Ms. Weaver has to say.
Hello, everyone. Quiet, please. This meeting won't take long. Then you can all leave. What is wrong with everyone? You look like I'm going to fire you. Seriously, what is wrong with everyone?
Excuse me, Ms. Weaver?
Yes, Anna.
Well, everyone has been worrying about, you know, we've been worrying that you're going to fire us.
I'm not going to fire any of you. No. The reason for this meeting is to tell you what a good job you've been doing and give out new assignments. Budget cuts have been happening, but only one person has lost their job. Mark in accounting? Now, let's talk about those new assignments.
She just wanted to praise them for doing their jobs well. Except maybe poor Mark in accounting. He may lose his job or get fired because of the budget cuts.
Let's review some of the jobs we heard about in this lesson. A reporter is someone who finds and writes about the news. Amelia tells Kaveh,
"You're a good reporter."
And we learn that Amelia is a videographer. That's someone who records and edits videos.
And it's not you. You've done such a great job as a videographer.
But she talks about a past job as a detective, a person who tries to find out about crimes. Usually this is a police officer.
I can't go back to being a detective. Criminals scare me.
And Kaveh used to work as a teacher. You all know about that job.
And I can't go back to being a teacher. High school kids scare me.
Now we have some work questions for you. What job do you have now or want to have if you are not working yet? Do you enjoy your job? Why or why not? You can email us at learningenglish@voanews.com. Or put your comments on our YouTube video for this podcast.
And it'll be great if you share the lesson of the day with your friends and family. Remember that you can also find us on YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook. Thanks for listening. I'm Andrew Smith.
And I'm Jill Robbins.
That's our program for today. Join us again tomorrow to keep learning English through stories from around the world. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Mario.